Turn in your Bibles with me this morning. I'll look at a good bit of scripture. Proverbs chapter 13 is the first verse. I want to speak to you today on the subject of the home and marriage and family. Churches are made up of families. And families today are under tremendous pressure, tremendous stress. The Christian families who want to live for the Lord and believe the Bible are experiencing various types of rejection by the society in which we live. And we know that we all struggle with the flesh and the devil and the world on our own. Then we have the battle of those working against us and undermining what we try to teach our children and raise our families up to believe. And so there's great difficulty that we face. Proverbs 13 and verse number 12 says, "Hope deferred maketh the heart sick, but when the desire cometh, it is a tree of life." Unfulfilled expectations are a major problem in marriages and in children growing up. Unfulfilled expectations because people place their hope or confidence or trust in something without really knowing what they're going to face and what they're going to go through. Jude 3 tells us to earnestly contend for the faith which was once for all delivered unto the saints. It not only includes the Bible, but it includes all what the Bible teaches to us as Christians and as families. We face a battle that we must earnestly contend to keep our beliefs, to keep our doubts away and our fears away from society that has changed totally and drastically in the last good many years. There are big problems in marriages because of expectations and lack of expectations. People get married and they think everything's going to go great, that you can make it work, that other people have made it work so you can make it work, without realizing the kind of crisis that people have gone through that have endured years of marriage, the difficulties they face, the problems that have arisen that they've had to deal with. And so these often occur creating arguments or stress or depression because of financial pressures and the results of what financial pressures can bring. It can bring depression. It can bring arguments between the husband and wife on how the money is spent. And it's vital that we recognize we need to work together, that we've got to sit down and communicate and have the same goals and ideals that we're working toward. If we don't, we're pulling apart instead of pulling together. And that happens quite often in our society. If people try to go into marriage without God, without the Bible, without discipleship, without learning to do their duty even when it means hardship and difficulty, then they will lack the tools that it takes to cope with the difficulties and crisis of life that we often face. It's important that we know how to fight back against the sweeping tide of the society in which we live that would carry us along with it farther away from God and farther away from the Bible and farther away from our belief system where we've put our faith and trust in Christ. We can't help but see that many of the generation that are grown up in the last 20 years and are growing up today are what we would call a spoiled generation. Many of them have not faced difficulty. They haven't faced hardship. They haven't faced financial problems. They haven't faced what they may face when they get married. I don't recommend to anybody to do what my wife and I did. I was 19 and she was 18 when we got married. And we were ignorant about family life and both of us came from what we would call dysfunctional families. Her parents had gone through a divorce, and my mom had stayed with my dad because she didn't have anywhere to go, and he was for 40 years a terrible alcoholic. And that was the kind of home I had grown up in. I didn't have an example of what it was like to be a good husband or a father or a Christian. And Joy and I got saved after we'd been married for almost 5 years. And during those time period, it's just the grace of God that we faced many of the difficulties we did without pulling apart. Now, society urges young people today to get themselves into debt immediately. They fail to bring up young people learning to live within their means of their income. Couples purchase more than they can afford. A new car. Everybody wants a new car. Well, if you can afford one and you plan for it and all, that's great. It's nice. But a car is a major expense. And when you buy a new one, you got higher taxes. You may have higher insurance rates. You have the payments. And sadly, we go so much in our society today that an automobile in 4 or 5 years may have so many miles on it, and yet you're still making payments on it. And by then, you may start having maintenance problems and having to spend money to have the car fixed, even though it's not yet paid for. Most young couples feel they need to fill their house with furniture, get a widescreen TV and all the cables and stuff like that that goes along with it. And they like to go out to eat. They like to go to the movies. They like to do things that all of it costs money. And the pressure society puts on us to conform, the advertising industry that lures us with the commercials and the thought of happiness, and if you'll just use this product, it's going to make your life so much better. My wife went over to Ollie's one day and she picked up one of those red square frying pans. And the bottom of it's got aluminum on it, and the inside of it's got copper coating, and supposedly it won't scratch, and nothing will stick to it. You don't have to put any oil in it, you know, but nothing will stick to it. So I said, let me try this new frying pan. So I put it on the stove, and it took forever for the thing to heat up to start with. And then once it got hot and I put eggs in it, the eggs stuck. And I got to noticing it had a couple of chips on it, just, you know, from being in the store and then coming to our house and being put in the cabinet, taking out the cabinet, already some of that copper that never comes off was coming off, you know. And advertising will get you in trouble. It'll make you buy something that you can't afford, thinking that it's going to bring some great joy into your life. And what it may do is what all material things do. Rust, bust, and collect dust. That's the big problem we all face. Few younger marriages are prepared for the serious problems they may face, like major car trouble. Tommy Tart's got a car that he's had for a while. He's put 35,000 miles on it or so, and it's met his needs up to now, but he's got transmission trouble. So if you ever see him out here and he can't go in reverse. So if you ever see him out here stranded, help him push it forward, okay? And he took it to the shop and they told him it wasn't worth fixing. They said it'd be about $1,800 for a rebuilt transmission to go into it, and they told him the car wasn't worth that. So, you know, he's facing that kind of an issue with decisions to make, and there are many people not prepared for that kind of problem to replace an automobile. Replace a heat pump could be $5,000, $6,000, $7,000. To replace shingles on the roof of a house, if you didn't have homeowners insurance and hail damage to replace it free of charge, if you have to pay for it because of age or long-term wear, then now it's $5,000, $6,000, $7,000 to get a roof re-shingled. And some folks are just not prepared for that. There's always that situation where you get married, you think everything's going great, both husband and wife are working, and then all of a sudden, you know, like Gomer Pyle said, surprise, surprise, surprise. The wife's pregnancy test is positive. And now life is going to change as it never was before. And children come into the home, and there are major expenses. There's difficulty for the wife to work. There's all those problems that can come as a result of that. And few people are really prepared for a job loss, for a career change. Not many young people get enough education in other fields, so they're qualified for jobs other than what they've been going to school for. And you may face some serious career changes as society goes along over a period of years. We also live in a selfish society today. We all want more, and we are not satisfied and content with what we have. The Bible teaches us to be content with what we have. And a person who is content is a wealthy person, because you're not wanting more and striving for more. You're content with what you have. And it's important that we have the tools to help our husband and wife and our children to become the kind of people that can deal with these things and face these things and not be destroyed by them. So turn with me this morning in Matthew chapter 7. I give you a passage we've gone over fairly recently and that most of you know very well, Matthew 7, and beginning with verse number 24. Jesus said, "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, the winds blew and beat upon the house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and it beat upon that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. It came to pass when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority, not as the scribes." If a man and woman are saved and they go to church and they seek to be faithful to the Lord with their life, they study the Bible, they spend time in prayer, they have a devotional time in their home, they're seeking to have an obedient walk with God, then they will avoid many of the dangers that other people go through. It doesn't mean that you won't have problems. It doesn't mean that you won't have crisis to deal with. I'm not suggesting that if you're faithful in church that you're immune to problems of society. We all face the storms. We all face the difficulties. We all face the trials and the tests that come our way. Jesus made a very simple statement here when he said those who hear his word and obey it are building on a foundation that's solid. And those who hear his sayings and do not obey him are building on a foundation of sand. And when storms come to both, the one who's built on the great foundation can weather the storms. And those who did not build on the right foundation will have great destruction and trouble. What are those storms that may come? That could be a health crisis, could be a financial crisis, could be a problem in the marriage itself, could be trouble with young people. Some younger couples haven't gotten together on the same page. They haven't sat down with a plan of where we're going and how we're going to get there and what we're going to do in order to raise our family and work together and keep together when the troubles and problems come along. And so they pull apart instead of pulling together. We live in a promiscuous society. We are influenced by the things we spend time with, the people we spend time with, co-workers, neighbors, people in a same hobby or something that we have. The movies that we watch, the television programs that we look at, all of these things influence us. I can remember when I was about 12 years old, my dad bought me a horse. We'd had an old farm horse. He plowed with the horse in the early days. And you know, I would help him. I would ride the horse and he would stand behind the plow, you know. But that was an old work horse. When I was about 12, he got me a Pinto mare. And she was what is called five-gated. She could rack and ride very smooth. It was a nice old horse, you know, it was about 12 years old. She was very, very patient and docile with me. And I got a saddle, and I got a cowboy hat. And I rode those dirt roads out there where I lived, and I was Roy Rogers. When cars would come by, I would chase them down the dirt road and go past them, you know, get up, you know. And I was imitating the things I'd seen on Gunsmoke and Roy Rogers and Dale Evans and that other idiot that was their sidekick with Nellie Bell, the Jeep, you know, and Bullet the dog and all that sort of thing. And I wanted to be, you know, I grew up watching World War II movies, and I joined the Marine Corps when I was 17 years old. You know, I wanted to be John Wayne. And those things influenced my life. And if you're honest, something like that has influenced you also. And we're still influenced by the things that we see and the people that we spend time with. Well, the sad thing is Hollywood has lost all sense of morality. Their idea today is to produce movies and television that expands moral corruption, that goes away from the Bible, away from God, away from any moral restraint of right and wrong. As far as they're concerned, each individual should be his own God and choose what is right and wrong for them rather than following an absolute like the Bible that teaches us what is right and what is wrong. We'll face great difficulties with moral issues in our society today if we're not committed to our vows, committed to keep our marriage together, committed to work together to get where we're trying to go. It takes a work ethic. It takes sacrifice. It takes a willingness to give up things that are selfish and our own desires for the betterment of the marriage and the home and the family. Back in Genesis chapter 2, if you want to turn there, you can. And I'll turn there fairly rapidly and read. Genesis chapter 2, verse number 20. Verse 20 says, Adam gave names to all the cattle, and the fowl of the air, and to every beast of the field, but for Adam there was not found an helpmeet for him. The Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept, and he took of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman, and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. This is the original marriage that God put together. In the beginning, it was given unto Adam to have understanding beyond his experience. He didn't have a mama and a daddy. But God gave him the understanding he would be a father and his wife would be a mother. And as children grew up, it would be their responsibility when they married to become one together and to leave mother and father and be joined together as one flesh. He demonstrates by that understanding a permanence in the marriage relationship. to be joined together as one, to have a permanence in what you're doing, to work together with a unity of purpose and God-given understanding. Working together, communicating together, having the same goals and the same desires, so that we're pulling together and not pulling apart. A closeness of fidelity, our faithfulness in our relationship to each other and to God are all seen in this expression that we're joined together and become one flesh. Over in Ephesians chapter 5, the Bible describes the husband and wife relationship and the responsibility that we have in keeping our union together, in demonstrating what God would have us to do. In Titus, the Bible teaches the older women should teach the younger women to love their husbands and love their children and raise them in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. The husband is to love his wife like Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. That means we have to sacrifice of our own desires and sacrifice of things of ourselves, whether it's the work ethic or the desire for things. We have to make sacrifices in love for the betterment of the home. Love means caring more for each other than we care for ourselves. It keeps selfish attitudes out of the relationship. And those are vital, because people who are raised very spoiled and handed everything they want, and they think that when they get married, it's the spouse's job now to take the place of the parents, is to give me everything I want, whether it's the wife or the husband. And that's a selfish desire that will lead to a lot of trouble. Christ said in Matthew chapter 19 that He wanted marriages to be as they were in the beginning, to be permanent, to be lasting, to be enduring. And so they questioned. They said, well, why then did Moses make it okay for a bill of divorcement? And Jesus said, because of the hardness of your heart. God knows that people will fail. God knows that people will make mistakes and not work out their problems, but they will have divorces. And He had the knowledge of knowing what man is like, even though He presents an ideal that He wants us to have a permanence in our relationship together. Secondly, this morning, the problems we face because we have a sinful nature. We all have a sinful nature, and we face problems that are a result of it. We face problems with the world we live in, our society's ideals, the devil himself, and our own flesh. Over in James chapter 1, the Bible shows us where the problem of temptation comes in. Chapter 1 and verse number 13 says, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. The problem of the temptations that come because of our desires. God gave us the desire of a sexual relationship, but God gave us His Word that is to be fulfilled in marriage and in marriage only, and that marriage is to be between a man and a woman, not a man and a man or a woman and a woman. That is not God's ideal. That is not God's plan. That is not what God instituted. So we face a lot of problems in life because of our own sinful nature. In Galatians, the Bible shows us in verse 19 through 21, the works of the flesh, the problems that our own flesh can cause and the sins that it can commit. Some of those are sexual sins. And sadly, many marriages do not survive the problems that come from sexual sins. Many face difficulties with that, and they don't have the tools to overcome it and to to continue in their relationship. Spiritual sins, impurities, the absence of restraint, lasciviousness means an excess, means not having any shame. People will do things today and boast about it. They'll make parades about it. They'll put it in the public eye. They'll put it on Facebook. They'll put it on the news media. And they have no moral restraint. We just got through Mardi Gras. Mardi Gras is a Catholic celebration to get drunk and party before Lent starts. So Fat Tuesday, you do all the sin and debauchery, and then on Wednesday, you get them to make a cross on your forehead with the ashes, and then you repent, and you don't do those things for the next 40 days of Lent. You give them up for God. If you think I'm lying to you, my friend, you just check into it, and you'll find I'm telling you the absolute truth. That is exactly what Mardi Gras is all about. It is exactly what that celebration is based upon. And the rest of the world that are not Catholic love to join in to the sinful part of all of that and the experience of it. The lack of restraint, the openness of sin, the wantonness of indecency, vile sins of darkness that are in stark contrast to what verses come after those of the list of the flesh, which are the fruit of the Spirit. And that is where our character is to be demonstrated as Christian people. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Those are the fruit of the Holy Spirit living in a believer who is yielded unto God and seeking to live for God rather than the works of the flesh that are so prevalent in the society that we live in. Practical solutions to keep us where we need to be. Number one, we need to work at being spiritual. If our hearts are right with God and we're studying the Scripture and we're trying to live the Christian life and be a Christian husband or wife and a Christian parent, then we will avoid many of the troubles and pitfalls that the rest of the world goes through. Do you know people that get out in the world partying and go to bars and get in fights? And all? If you don't go to bars, you don't have that problem. If you don't drink, you don't have that problem. If you put your energy toward working your job and saving your money and live within your income, you can better yourself instead of something draining off everything that you have. Learn to budget and live within your means. Save money. I often listen to Dave Ramsey on the way home on Wednesday night after church on the radio. And on that particular program, he has a lot of people on there to do the debt-free scream, you know, and they tell a little story about how much money they owed and how much money they made in their job and how they paid off a lot of debt over a period of time. And the other night he had a couple on there that were 42 years of age and they had paid their home off and all their bills. They paid off $170,000 in debt and were 42 years old. And what had happened was they both worked jobs that their total income together was only about $70,000. But what they did was they both worked other jobs part-time. And instead of spending any money on themselves, they put all of the money that they could possibly spare toward paying off their debts. And they were debt-free at 42 years of age. And it was amazing when they talked about all the different jobs that they had. They had cleaned one of these trailers that somebody smokes meat and things like that and then sells it out of the truck. You know, they had been hired a few $100, you know, to clean that trailer completely up for them. They had cut lawns. They had washed cars. They had done all kind of things like that to make extra money in addition to working their job. And they paid off their debt. Do you know there are many people today that would not have that concept at all because they think if they just got a job, that's all they're supposed to do. Well, what happens then if you can't live within what you're making? The difficulties that are there, the willingness to work and sacrifice, to budget and to save and live within our means. I think it's vital in a marriage relationship that you keep romance in the relationship. That you have a date night. I didn't do it because of this message, but my wife and I went out to supper last night. Somebody had given us a nice gift card to a steakhouse. And I'll tell you how long it had been since we had done that. I got sticker shock when I looked at the menu and what the prices were. I couldn't believe how much the prices had gone up since I'd been in that place. And we usually split a steak or share a meal from the seafood place, but last night we had the gift card. We were going to spend it. We both got a steak and a salad and a side dish, you know, and we both drank water. We always drank water. If you buy tea or Pepsi at a restaurant, you're going to spend a fortune. You know, it's like the old comedian said, his daddy told him, said, everybody drinks water. My goodness, you can make a whole pot of tea at home for what one of these would cost, you know. And there's a lot of sense in that. If you got plenty of money and you want to pay $3 or $4 for a glass of tea, then you go right ahead. But if you got about 5 kids, you better think that thing through, you know. And we went out and had a steak last night, and we enjoyed it. I think it's important that you have a date night in your relationship, that you have some vacation time that you can spend together and get away and keep some romance in the relationship. It's vital to have communication so that you keep the same goals, so that you ask forgiveness for the wrongs that you've done, that you get back on the straight and narrow path and back on working toward the goals that we have, that we keep our priorities. We can use our calendar to help us keep those priorities. Sunday is the Lord's day. It's not mine to do with as I please. And I need to make sure that my life revolves around the Lord, not around myself. We have to schedule time for the things that need to take place. Do you know a marriage needs maintenance as much as an automobile does? Every 5,000 miles, now, you know, if you go to these quickie oil changes, they tell you to come every 3,000 miles. But if you go to the dealership and get the dealership filter and oil, it's usually every 5,000 to 10,000 miles that you change oil in the newer cars today, Toyota or a Honda or those kind of cars. And you take it back at 5,000 miles and they rotate the tire. At 10,000 miles, they change the oil and put the synthetic oil in it. But that's got to be done. You got to rotate the tires if you want them to last longer. You got to keep the proper air pressure in them if you want them to last longer. You got to check the oil in your vehicle every once in a while. You got to have it changed at regular intervals. You have to change air filters at a certain time. It costs a lot of money to keep up a car. It costs a lot of money to keep up a marriage. There's maintenance that has to be done. Now, Brother Bobby Anglin, me and him used to tease each other quite a bit. And I used to ask him, I'd say, what'd you get Jewel for Christmas? He'd say, I paid the rent. And you know, he was teasing, but there's some folks that have that attitude. But I'll promise you, you need to learn what your wife needs and how you can help her become better for you and better for the marriage, and the same with the husband. By using a little wisdom that God will give you, it takes maintenance on the relationship. You have to be careful who you follow. If you follow the wrong people, you can cause great harm in your home, in your family, in your relationship. I'm going to stop right here because of the time. In Romans chapter 1, we'll look at the society we live in today and find it in Romans chapter 1, where they rejected God. They had no respect or love for the Bible and no focus on God and what society became as a result of it. And we live in a society just like that today. And if we aren't careful, another generation coming along will be as the last generation that has grown up believing in evolution, believing there is no God, believing that the Bible is an outdated book, having no understanding of true salvation and a walk with God, and the effects of that will follow over into their marriages and their homes and their families. Thanks be unto God, the church helps sometimes put some of those back together by coming to know the Lord as Savior and rescue some before it's too late. So let's be the example to others, and let's invite people to church, and let's be an influence for God and for good, and not allow ourselves to be influenced in the wrong directions. Let's stand. Father, we thank you for your love and your mercy and your grace. Thank you for your word. This beginning of some messages on the home and the family today. I pray that you'll help me and guide me as I prepare and saying the things that are needed most. And Lord, we ask you to bless this church and each family that's represented here. How vitally dependent we are upon you and on your help. And we ask you for it in the name of Jesus, our Savior. Amen.